gonna sing number 392. There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Hey.
I think God probably wants to shower us with blessings far greater than our desire for them. Because he knows our hearts. He knows what we need. Brother Sam, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for already the blessings that we have received.
Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to welcome all of you to our Sunday morning service today. You who were here during the Sunday school hour got to hear Brother Tim Hawkins, our visitor from Brazil. He's been almost all of his life in the... How old were you when you went down, Tim? 11 months old. He's been there, and I'm not going to ask you how old you are now. I can tell by looking. You've been there almost all of your life. That's pretty good. So he's what we would normally call a veteran missionary, a missionary's kid. second generation. And we appreciate the service that the Hawkins family has rendered unto the Lord. We have a similar family to that. Ralph McCoy down in Mexico raised a family of missionaries down there. And it's just every once in a while that God touches a family and uses them generation after generation. And we appreciate that. We're going to turn him loose to preach here in a minute, but before we do, we're going to have some more good singing here. And Brother Johnny was not here last Sunday. He was under the weather, and he may have two or three that he wants to sing this morning to make up for that. And then Brother Bryant is going to sing us a song this morning. Amen. All right. A couple of Sundays ago, you couldn't have done it because you were sick. Yeah. See there? That's evidence that God's still alive, because he raises up the sick, doesn't he? And restores us to the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. All right. Let's, Brother David, lead us in another good song.
Number 628. 628.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the believing, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Would you all stand and we'll sing number 631 for our offertory hymn.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hunger spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Brother Roger, will you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you.
as Brother Johnny prepares to come up here and sing for us this morning, there is a pressing need that exists in our church, and somebody here might be able to fulfill that particular need. We have a fella in our church who got ran over by a car the other day, sort of a hit and run accident, and it kind of busted up his kneecap, and he's got a brace on his leg now. He's in rehab, getting used to it and all, but he can no longer walk by himself like if he took the bus up here and get off a block or so away. It would be difficult for him to make it up the hill. If there is someone here that the Lord would lay on your heart to do a good Christian deed and pick him up and bring him to church, if you'll bring him, I'll take him home. We'll split the good deed, okay? So you see me after the service, or see his sister sitting back there on the seat, and talk to us, and we'll make arrangements for that, okay? All right, Brother John.
Good morning, everyone. You know, in that song we just sung, I'd rather have Jesus than men or false. That is true with me. That is really true with me. Because let me tell you something. I don't mind pats on the back or attaboy Johnny's. But if you don't mean it sincerely from your heart, please don't say anything. Amen. Don't do anything for me. Just get out of my way. Because I'm going to hold on to my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to cry to him for mercy. And he's going to come and deliver me. I need him constantly in my life. Please, sister.
Brian. Bring us another song. That's a hard one to follow. Yeah. That's good. We appreciate this music.
I learned this song
from a missionary, Brother Bob Light in Nome, Alaska. For many years up there, he and Belua. He came to my church in Santa Paula when I was pastoring up there, and we started to work. And Bob and Lavina, I met him in college, in Springfield, and got to know them and supported him through the churches that we planted here in Southern California. Wonderful man. He's both all, he and Bob Lavina both are with the Lord right now. My penis gets ready there. We'll, Lord bless you. Zion's Hill tonight. There waits for me a glen tomorrow, where gates of swerves sing open wide, and when I pass this vale of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. Day of rest shall come at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's for that good song, Zion's Hill. Just a couple of announcements. At 6 o'clock this evening, the Lord willing, we'll be preaching a message here on the resurrection of Christ. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, you and I have the assurance of being raised from the dead after we die. If Jesus' death were all there were to it, we could not have much assurance of eternal life. Stop and think about it. But by his resurrection from the dead, we have assurance and we have hope. This life is not all. This is the preparatory stage for eternity. Now, Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, we'll be here for a Bible study in the book of Deuteronomy. So read the 15th chapter and come prepared for a blessing come Wednesday night. That's our joy and privilege to introduce to you, who have not met him before, one of our splendid missionaries that God's given us, who's serving the Lord in the country of Brazil. Brother Tim Hawkins is going to come and bring us the morning message today. And next Sunday, we, the Lord willing, will have his brother John with us in our morning service, that you'll get acquainted with these two wonderful brothers, children of a fellow by the name of Joe Hawkins, that served the Lord all his life. Brother Johnny. What? I don't know. Next year, he says. Yeah. They can't all leave at one time. All right. Yeah, there's still another one down there. Yeah. All right. And let's see, what else? Nothing else. Brother Tim, come and preach for us. Glad to have you today.
Thank you very much, Pastor, and it is good to be back here at Bible Baptist Church. Yeah, Truth's in Brazil right now holding the fort down because John and I are home and we can't all leave at the same time. Otherwise, they might even carry the land off there in Brazil. A few years ago, there was a fellow, and he had a small little house, probably like maybe 10 foot by 10 foot. And it was a wooden house on stilts, and it was close to the center of town. And he went off to visit some relatives in the interior. And when he came back, his whole house was gone. Somebody decided they needed it more than he did, so they just took it apart and moved it to another part of town. So when he came back, he didn't even have a house left. So they do walk off with a few things now and then down there. It is good to be here again this morning after a long time, and hopefully the next time it won't be quite as long. But it's to be able to thank you folks personally for the your support financially, and especially in prayer for the work in northern Brazil. If you want to get there, you'd probably have to go down the Pacific coast, go through the Panama Canal, go around the hump of South America, get in the Amazon River mouth. You can't miss it. It's only 200 miles wide. And then you go about 1,000 miles up the Amazon River, turn right, go about 25 miles, and you'll come to the city of Manaus. About 2 million people located there on the banks of the Rio Negro River, just a few miles from where it intersects with the Amazon. And that's where God has placed us. I grew up actually 650 and later on 500 miles up the Rio Negro River, which is the largest tributary of the Amazon. And then God called me when I was about 12 years old to return to Brazil as a missionary. So then finished up high school, and then went to Bible college. And it's kind of like Brother Sam and his wife, you know. And I'm a native Californian, actually. I was born in Doctor's Hospital in Los Angeles, California. Mrs. Burton, she was born in Los Angeles. And then God had to bring Brother Sam all the way from New York City to meet her. And my wife's from Florida. So it's amazing, you know, for God, there's no distance. It just doesn't exist. But we met in Ohio. I guess we met halfway, you would say, you know. And of course, Dad was from Kansas, and Mom was born in California also, up in Pasadena, Glendale, up in that area there. So it's amazing how God can bring people together. And then he sent us all to the Amazon River Valley. You know, that's even crazier yet. sent us all down there, and the Burtons worked for many years. I had her as a music teacher when I was in boarding school back in the early 70s. And of course, they worked in Potentines, which is about, 300 miles from Manaus or so, somewhere around there, downriver, down on the right on the banks of the Amazon itself. About 18 hours by boat going down and about 24 hours coming up because there's a little current that you have to fight on the way up. But it's just amazing how God brings people together from all over the face of the earth and then uses him for his honor and his glory. And I would just like to say thank you, folks. As I mentioned in Sunday school, y'all have been a part of our ministry for many, many years. For Betty and I, our whole missionary life. Y'all took us on in February 1980. Now, that's when we came by and visited the church. And y'all took us on for support. And y'all been supporting us ever since faithfully. One of the churches that I don't believe has ever missed a month in 33 years of support. I don't have that many. There are a few. But it's just a blessing to be able to be here in person and to thank you for being so faithful. And all the souls won, all the churches established, all the pastors and missionaries trained in the Instituto Batista Bíblico do Amazonas in the last 33 years, y'all have had a part in that. And you know, it just keeps getting bigger because these men go out and they plant churches and they preach the gospel, and maybe they'll start a seminary or a Bible institute, and then maybe their children and their grandchildren, and it just keeps growing. And God just keeps blessing as even the world population grows. God just keeps blessing and blessing through his word. And we're all part of that. Imagine, you know, we actually are fruit of the Apostle Paul's ministry. If you recall, he was the missionary to the Gentiles. The Jews weren't too happy about that in the beginning, but God, you know, changed Peter's mind and showed him that the gospel was for everybody to the uttermost part of the earth. And I guess, you know, when you get up, you know, go 1,000 miles up the Amazon, then you can still go another 1,000 miles up the Rio Negro in Brazil. You're still in Brazil. And today there are Indian men that are preaching the gospel in those areas. But it all, I believe, started with the Apostle Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles. And imagine how much, has been accomplished through his ministry and the 13 books he wrote in the New Testament, 12, 13 books he wrote in the New Testament. He has a part in that. And you folks have part. And of course, you don't support just missionaries to Brazil. You've supported the many parts of the world. And all that ministry, it's going to be fantastic when we get to heaven one day and be able to meet personally all those people that have been influenced by the gospel, because folks at Bible Baptist Church in Chula Vista, California, most people don't even know where that is. Yeah. But because y'all cared, because you were willing to fulfill part of the Great Commission and send somebody, to preach the gospel to places that you might not ever have a chance to visit. You might not want to visit some of those places. But yet, you know, through the gospel, you have touched people's lives and made an eternal difference. Not just send them a little food or maybe some clothes or dug a well for them. All that is well and good. And it's great when we can do that. But to give someone the opportunity to have eternal life, that is what really counts. And as Jesus himself said in the book of Matthew, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Because that is what is more important than anything on the face of the earth, is a human soul. Because it will live eternally and will have to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. That is, if we believe our Bible. That's very, very somber. We don't even like to talk about it maybe many times, but that's the truth that the Bible presents. That's what God says about humanity and about the necessity that every human being has to be able to have at least an opportunity to hear. Now, we don't convert people. You know, that's what some other groups have tried to do over the centuries. We do not convert people. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. He is the one that touches people's hearts and brings them to a point of salvation. But in Romans chapter 10, we have those verses where it says, that we need to go out and we need to preach. We need to tell them. Because how will they hear if there's not a preacher? And how will they believe if they have not heard? And so it's necessary, because God has chosen to use humans to reach humans. Amen. That's how God has chosen. Why he did that, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the angels and their capabilities and their strength and things like that, they would have done probably a much better job, because they're not subject to the human nature and the sin nature that we are subject to. And they have much more strength, and they don't die and get old and like we do. But yet God chose men and women to reach men and women. And so it is a great responsibility that's laid upon us. And as we think of the life that we live here, we realize and we need to remember always that God has put us here for a purpose. We are like a great army. The Bible compares us to soldiers. And in an army, there are many different positions, but all of them are necessary. You folks are the supply line. And I can remember back in the Iraq War, when the soldiers, after they landed and started going in, the Air Force had already bombed, and they had cut off basically all of the supplies to Saddam Hussein's army. And as the tanks rolled through Kuwait and into Iraq, a lot of the Iranian soldiers would come out of the ditches with their gun held high and just give up. Why? They were hungry. They hadn't eaten in who knows how long. Why? The U.S. Air Force cut off the supply lines. And what good is a soldier if he's hungry? What good is a soldier if he doesn't have bullets? It's not in the olden days where, you don't have to have bullets for a sword or maybe for a bow, you'd have to have extra arrows and whatnot, but for a sword and a spear. But if you're hungry and you're weak, all they wanted was a meal. They were happy to give up because the supply lines were cut off. And the same thing is true. God has ordained that churches send out missionaries to plant other churches in other parts of the world. But if the supply lines are cut off, what are we going to do? If you do not pray for us, if you do not support us, then we'll have to try to find some other way to do it, and it's not going to be near as effective. And we might have to come back. We might not be able to be anymore on the front lines, expanding the kingdom of God as he has told us to do. And so it's very important. We're laborers together. It's not, we're down there because you folks have supported and sustained us. And so we all have a part also in the fruits. And that's what God wants us to do. But as we look around us, we find that as human beings, we're fallible, we're inconsistent many times. Many times we give up or we quit or we don't persevere in many of the things that we do. Because many times we look around us, and maybe the cares of this world, the difficulties sometimes, the problems, we get sidetracked. And I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, a very familiar passage. Many of you probably know it by heart, but I'd like to just comment on three things real quick this morning about remembering who we are, who we serve, and what we're here for, so that we don't get so caught up in this world that we become more worldly than even maybe the world. And we forget about the spiritual things and the importance of spiritual things and the importance of praying and preaching the gospel. Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to read just the first verse and quickly this morning just comment a little bit. Let's stand, please, as we read God's word. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says this: Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege and the honor we have to proclaim your word. May it touch our hearts. May it encourage us. May it correct us. May it strengthen and encourage us to serve you all the days of our lives. Lord, thank you for this church, for the light and the salt that it is in this area and even through missions around the world. May it always remain that. May it always preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ and always be a lighthouse to those who have never heard. Lord, we just thank you again for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to shed his blood that we might be saved. And Lord, just ask you to bless your word to our hearts that it might produce that in us that you would have it to produce. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We find here that the writer of Hebrews is asking us to remember some things. He uses the word therefore because he refers back to chapter 1 where he talks about Christ coming in these last days and Christ being above the prophets. That is actually the theme of Hebrews. Christ is better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the law because Christ is what it's all about. All the way from the book of Genesis chapter 3, when the first promise of the Messiah was given, all the way through the book of Revelation. It's all about Christ, folks. It's all about him. And as the songs that have been sung this morning, we need Christ. John chapter 15, verse 5, the last phrase says, without me, ye can do nothing. And I believe he meant it there. We can do nothing without Christ. It has to be all about him. And everything that we do, everything that we try, we have to remember that Christ is all and everything. And he says, therefore, thinking of those things that we have heard, those things that we have learned, and we're probably one of the most privileged generations on the face of the earth. We have the Bible. We have all kinds of tools to use in the spreading of the gospel. But so many times, we're not willing to use those in the spreading of the gospel. The early church reached the known world in their day, and they didn't have the printed page, which is so basic to us. I mean, we take it so much for granted. People have 4 or 5 Bibles in their houses, at least. And yet, that early church, all they had was pieces of the Old Testament scriptures because it was all hand-copied, and it was extremely valuable, and most people probably didn't even know how to read in those days also. But yet, they preached the gospel to the known world of their day. The Bible says there in the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching what little they did know. And today with the printed page and airplanes, and they didn't have any Bible colleges or seminaries to begin with. All that we take so much for granted today. They didn't have any of that. And yet they were able to reach the world, the known world in their day. Now, not everybody got saved, of course, but they preached the gospel. Paul was going to Asia. God told him, no, Paul, you can't. But then in Ephesus, he spent almost three years teaching in that school, and I believe training men to preach. And the Bible says there in the book of Acts chapter 19 that all of Asia heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is possible. What we have to do is we have to depend on Christ, depend on the Lord. And be willing to be sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's talking about all that. And then he says, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And, sometimes we get so caught up in this world. And I found a little phrase in an old book that I was reading the other day. And he said, don't let your blessings turn into temptations. And we are so blessed. But yet, are those blessings becoming temptations in our lives for us to forget God's work and the importance of God's work and the necessity of God's work? Because, see, folks, we're it. Have any of you found a plan B in the Bible about preaching to the lost? If man fails, have you found a verse that says, well, if men fail, then God said, I'm going to do this? I haven't found plan B yet. I don't know, maybe Brother Sam or Brother Pastor Wessel can enlighten me, but I haven't found plan B in the scriptures yet. They have a lot more time in the ministry than I do. But we're it, folks. If we don't do it, who is going to do it? Amen. Yeah. Who is going to preach the gospel? You know, the world is not decreasing in population. When we arrived in Manaus 33 years ago, we had probably about 400,000 people. Today we have over 2 million. Now, there are more churches, granted, but there are more than 85 satellite cities or suburbs or whatever you want to call them in Manaus, and we only have 35 churches there. So we're behind. We're losing ground. And some of those suburbs have, like the one, the largest, has 80,000 people. Just in the one, what they call Alvorada, which means sunrise. Not much sunrise there, but Alvorada. There's 80,000 people. See, if you think, if a church can reach 5,000 people, how many churches would we need in that suburb? If you have a church for every 5,000 people, and there's 80,000, y'all can do the math. There's just so much just in Manaus. And then there's over 205 million people in Brazil. It's the fifth largest country in the world in population and land area. It's the largest Catholic country in the world still, at least statistically it is. And so there's just so much more to do. And all over the world, there's places, of course, in that 1040 window in Asia and part of what used to be the USSR and things where the gospel is not being preached very much. Well, you say you can't go there as a missionary. Yeah, I realize that. But, Paul wasn't supposed to go as a missionary to most of the places he went either. Because Caesar was supposed to be God. And Paul was preaching another God, which is the only true God. But you see, there's a little, if we're just willing, God can open doors if we're willing to do what he wants us to do. And so we see here that we have to be careful that we don't become indifferent to what God has placed us here on this earth. And then usually indifference will maybe even lead us to neglect, where we just don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross our mind many times because we get so caught up and so involved. And that's easy to do. We're all human. And a lot of things are important. But again, how much is your soul worth? And somebody was willing to tell you. So why shouldn't we be at least willing to tell the folks so that the Holy Spirit has the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. See, people need to hear God's word because that's what the Holy Spirit uses to work in their hearts and their minds so that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the problem is we live in the world. And we find that the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about the perilous times, and I'll not read the passage, but he talks about the perilous times that would come. And we live in those perilous times, folks. We live in those perilous times. But we still need to be able to know the importance of preaching the gospel. And John also talks about the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, which we believe is that last church that will exist. And it's not a very pretty picture that the Apostle John paints of the Laodicean church. But I think it's very indicative of the church in our day today. Where is Jesus when in Revelation chapter 3, verses... verse 17, or maybe a little bit before. Where is Jesus when he talks about the Laodicean church? Somebody remember? He's outside. Knocking on the door. Imagine putting Jesus outside the church where he has to knock on the door to get in his own church, whom he purchased with his own blood. That's not a very good commentary, folks. Generally speaking, if we look at Christendom, I guess we could say, in general, what they call Christianity in general, that is the truth today. Jesus is on the outside, knocking, trying to come in. A lot of churches have so many programs and promotions and everything else that, they just put Jesus way back in the back someplace. He's just... one little item in their program. But we see here, and it's interesting, this is where I believe we need to look at many times. We need to put things in perspective, the spiritual things and the material things. And we find that the Laodicean church was way out of perspective, according to God. Now, it's interesting what they thought of themselves and what Christ thought of themselves. Jesus says here, because thou sayest, this is what they thought of themselves, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They thought they had arrived. I mean, we see here that what had happened, pride had entered into their hearts. And that was the very first sin mentioned in the Bible, isn't it? When Satan let pride get into his heart. And he said, I will, and I will, and I will do this, and I will do that. And God said, no, you're not. God said, no, you're not doing that. You know, Satan is a little insane. You know what the word insane means? Not rational. Satan can't be God. He's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient, and he's not omnipresent. And to be able to hold the universe together, not just this earth and thing, but the whole universe, you have to be omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So Satan's just a little off his rocker. He's not rational. He cannot be God. He's a creature. He's probably the most powerful creature that God ever created. I don't know of anybody else that has the power and the knowledge that he has. And so we have to remember what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. So don't try to do it by yourself. You'll not win. He's a lot smarter. He's had 6,000 years to perfect his temptations and his snares and his traps. And he knows a lot more of the Bible than probably you do or any of us do. We find that when he tempted Jesus and tried to get him off track. He used Scripture. He used Scripture. Of course, he twisted it and turned it and turned it upside down and made it say something that it does not say. But he's very, very intelligent in the sense of our world. But we see that, but that's what many churches think of themselves today. When the early church started out, they didn't even have buildings. They met wherever they could. And then after about 200 and something years, and when Constantine, made the Christian church the official church of the Roman Empire, then he emptied the pagan temples and gave them to some of the churches. And we've been in trouble ever since. As far as Christianity in that way. And then look what Jesus says about them. He says five things. And knowest not. They didn't even realize what condition they were. And I'm afraid that so many churches today don't even realize the spiritual condition they're in. They think they're fine. They think they're doing great. But see, they've gotten things out of perspective because they have not kept this at the center of their worship and their work. They have put it aside. You know, remember, folks, Jesus is the living Word. And he has given us his written word to guide and direct us when it is applied by the Holy Spirit. It's not just what we think or what mixing human philosophy and human ideas with a few spiritual things. We have to stick with the Bible. It's our guidebook. It's the way God wants it done. See, we don't really choose the way the work is to be done. God's already said it, how it should be done. It's our business and our job to follow that and not try to better it or change it because then it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. It's another gospel. And so we see here, he says, knowest not that thou art wretched. I was trying to find a word in our vernacular, I guess, how we speak. And I came up with something real simple, and I don't know, maybe it's not the best, but just the word sorry. You know, when somebody says, you're just plain sorry. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I think that's a good, maybe a good definition of wretched. We don't use that word much anymore. And then miserable. And I thought, what today in our world, what makes people miserable? And I thought of depression. You know, so many people depressed in our world today. Not just here in America, but all over. Suicides are up by a tremendous. That's because a person is depressed. He's wretched. Why? Because he has no hope. The only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But a lot of people, they don't have any hope. And so they get depressed. And then the doctor puts them on pills and they feel a little bit better, but they still feel depressed, even when they're on the pills and whatnot. Because only Christ can really give us a reason to live. Poor, I don't think we have to comment too much on that. And then blind. And sometimes we want to be blind. We don't want to see. We're in our own little world. We create our own little world around us, and we're happy, we're satisfied, and we just kind of block everything else out. And then the last thing he said, and naked. When I think of nakedness, I think of shame. Of shame. And so many people are ashamed today. And so many Christians are probably ashamed because of their life. They're ashamed because they haven't done as much for Christ as they maybe would like to do. Or they're ashamed of this or ashamed of that. But see, if you're following the Lord and you're in your will, in His will, you don't need to be ashamed. What did Paul say in the book of Romans? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think in today's world, so many people seem to be ashamed. They don't witness to even their friends, maybe even their family members. They're ashamed to talk about Jesus. They're ashamed of what people would think. But we don't need to be ashamed. We need to be bold. But see, that's a characteristic of the church in the last days. And I don't believe that Bible Baptist Church is that way. But there are many churches and many denominations and groups that they're just, you know, they have a great self-image. But they've lost their perspective because they don't compare themselves to this. The Bible says those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. We can always find somebody sorrier than ourselves, can't we? But that's not a good comparison. That's relative. We have to compare ourselves with the standard. And when we start comparing ourselves with this, then we realize and understand who we really are. You see, we need to remember also who we serve. Folks, we're not serving each other. We're not serving the President of the United States, Lord help us. We're not serving man or an organization or a church. We are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. What a privilege. What a privilege. Many people count it a privilege to maybe serve this person or serve that person or this government agency or, maybe the president of this country or that country. But we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The greatest in all the universe. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's a God and actually the only God worthy of being obeyed and worshiped. We also need to remember that He already knows everything. Who do we think we're kidding? Yeah. Who do we think we're fooling? God already knows everything. And yet, we go along and we try to fool God. You can fool people. There's a saying that says you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool everyone all the time. But we can't fool God anytime. We cannot fool Him. He knows exactly. He knows our thoughts, the intents of our heart. He knows why we're here this morning. Some of you might have just come, well, if I don't come, then pastor's going to visit me next week and going to ask why I didn't come. And then I'm going to have to tell him that I went to the beach or I stayed home to watch this or that. You know, there was a football game on and I wanted to see it, whatnot. Maybe some of you are here because of that. Maybe there's all kinds of reasons that humans do things. But we should be here because it's right. God told us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. And much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus Christ. You see, I think we need to be fed more. We need to eat spiritually more. And we need to get together in fellowship and strengthen one another and encourage one another in these last days. Because it's perilous times out there, folks. It's perilous times. And we need to stay close and stay together. And so we can work together for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to remember what our mission is. Our mission is to preach the gospel. The only reason you're still here is because somebody needs to hear about Jesus Christ. I believe it with all my heart. And as long as God has something for us to do, I even think we're kind of immortal. You know, nothing's going to happen to us as long as God has something for us to do. Something in His plan, some person we're supposed to witness to, somebody we're supposed to help, somebody we're supposed to encourage. As long as we have something to do, God has left us here. But the day that our job is finished, then God says, come home. Come home. Our work is done. And so he takes us home. But if we're still here, that means we still have something to do. I can't tell you, but God can. The Holy Spirit can. And we need to be open to that. We need to be sensitive in our daily devotions, in our prayer life. We need to be sensitive to those things that God would have us to do. What is our mission? It has two parts. As a church, we have a mission, and then we also have a mission individually. And then the last thing I like to just have us remember this evening, and that is what our message is. Now, it seems like nowadays, we know that our message is truth. The Bible says in John 17:17 that God's word is truth. But I think I found this other little phrase that I thought was interesting, and it's a question. And it says, do you entertain truth as a guest, or is he master of the house? Something to think on. Do you entertain him as a guest? Now, what happens with a guest? You know, it's like myself. I'm kind of homeless these days as a missionary. I just traveling here and there. And, you know, I came in yesterday afternoon, and the Burtons have entertained me as a guest and fed me better than I should be fed, probably. I need to lose a few, and whatnot. But I'm just a guest. This afternoon I'm going to have to hop in the car and I have to drive into L.A. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. Because I'll be in Norwalk at the Community Baptist Church in Norwalk, sharing, the mission field. Well, they've supported us also for about 33 years. I'm just a guest, and I'm here today and gone tomorrow. And it seems like today, many people, truth to them is something that they entertain for a while, but it's not master of the house. The master of the house is what? That means you live truth 24/7. You live truth. You make it the most important thing in your life. You live truth. And that's like the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth. It is the truth. And we can't add to it. We can't take away from it. Because if we do, then it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. It's the gospel of Benny Hinn, or the gospel of Joel Osteen, or the gospel of Saddleback, or the gospel of this or that or whatever. You know, it's mixed. I love to use the illustration. I know my people get tired of it. But I say, I've got a glass of milk here. And I put two drops of arsenic in it. Anybody here want to drink it? It looks like milk. It smells like milk. But it's not milk anymore, is it? It's poison. I only put two drops in. It might not kill you. It might only make you sick. Still want to drink it? It's not milk anymore. And that's how it is with God's word. It's either pure or it's false. It has to be exactly like it was given to us, like the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What I have received, he said, I give to you. And that's what we need to do, folks. It's the only thing that will bring about the salvation of an eternal soul, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the truth that the Bible presents. It's not popular. Many times it offends. Many times it costs you maybe friends and even family. But we need to tell people the truth. It's better to tell them the truth, not just, as we say in Brazil, not just, you know, kind of pat people's head and passar a mão por cima, as we say. Just, you know, run your hand over the top of their head. You have to tell them the truth. No, everything's okay. Just be sincere. It's going to be all right. You might even have a second chance. And, you know, no, that's not what our Bible says. And if we really believe that, we need to act like it. And we need to be about the Master's business, preaching the eternal riches of Jesus Christ to those. Even here, Southern California is a mission field, folks. It's a mission field. As I came in and was watching the people walking on the street and just everybody busy going to and fro and things like that, and seeing all different kinds of people from all over the world living in this area. It's a mission field here. So much to do. Let's be faithful. That's the only thing that's really required. The book of 1 Corinthians, again, Paul says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Faithful what? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this church and for this great group of people that are busy about the Master's business. Oh, Lord, let us be more faithful even as we live our lives, as we interact with saved people and unsaved people, as you place us in situations and where we can be that example, that testimony that you have told us that we need to be, that we might be faithful to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as he touches our hearts to testify, to show with our very being what you have done for us. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who made this all possible, who came to this earth to die on the cross, to pay our sin debt, and to raise again to give us an eternal hope forever with him and the Father. Oh Lord, bless the rest of this day. Maybe you use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, would you come, please?
Thank you, Brother Hawkins. Shall we stand together, please? Brother David's going to come. We're going to sing a verse of invitation because someone in this congregation today may be lost. And you need the Lord. You need salvation. You need the assurance that if you died, you'd go to heaven and spend eternity with the Lord. There may be someone here whose heart has been touched and challenged to take up the cross and follow Jesus, to be a missionary, to be a minister, to be a servant of the Lord in whatever capacity God has shown you. Everyone may not be a preacher. Everyone may not be a missionary. But all of us are called to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the Lord has touched your heart today, and this will be your deciding time. Now, I know you can make a decision right where you stand, but I learned a long time ago that if you're nailing two boards together, you drive the nail through both the boards, and if you want them to stay together, that part of the nail that's through that second board, you bend it over. And so coming forward during an invitation is kind of like bending over the nail. And some of you may want to make a commitment to the Lord like that this morning. We'll give you that opportunity as we sing a verse of this invitation. You come and do whatever God has laid on your heart.
Number 491.
491 in our hymn book. One verse, one verse, one opportunity. Thank you. You've got a wonderful congregation this morning. We appreciate you being here. Remember our service tonight. Come praying that God will bless our hearts and touch our souls with the Word of God. Brother Gene Rice, will you dismiss us, please?